Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Prime Time with Isaac and Suk podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Robb.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sicanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It is our Monday, your Tuesday. We were not here yesterday. No show Monday due to the Seahawks. We are we're a bit backed up on sports topics.
It happens. And we may not get to everything today. I mean, we haven't talked like any NFL.
I know. And that's why I think we'll do that in our next segment. We've got so much to discuss from week two in the NFL. And we'll get to some of that. And then we'll wrap up our discussion of the weekend that was in college football. The SEC has five teams in the top 15.
And Alabama looks, they look damn near unbeatable. But, I mean, the toughest part of their schedule is still to come. But they look really good right now. So does Ohio State.
So we'll get to that coming up this hour. A lot of football talk. And then in the club tonight, did you see who's lobbying to be the next Batman?
I did. Well, we need a Superman too. So throw that one out there.
Yeah. And if we created a call-in show, which we're not.
No.
But let's say we create one and it's about one TV show. What call gets the most? Gets the most calls? What show gets the most calls? Did that make sense?
No, it didn't.
You mean current, past?
Any show.
Any?
We create a call-in show, and it's about one TV broadcast.
Oh.
And so people can call in and talk about that show.
Okay.
What TV show gets the most calls? Like, what TV show should be the subject of our big call-in show?
Oh, interesting. Okay. I see where you're going with that.
And some other stuff.
I've got weed news. Lots and lots of weed.
Really?
Yeah. Apparently it's just littering the beaches. You been to a beach lately?
When was the last time in Italy.
Yeah.
Did you find weed? No.
Maybe you should go to Florida.
What if I don't want to find weed?
Oh. Well, then don't go to Florida.
What if I don't care about weed?
Well, then again, there's really no reason to go to Florida. But if you want some free weed and you like the beaches, Florida's the spot for you.
Just digging around on the beach? There's a bunch of weed?
You don't have to dig around. You just walk in there on the beach and there's some weed.
All right.
And not a little bit. There's tons.
All right. So that's what we have coming up here. Right now, though, I think we're ready for the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics. Hot opinions.
Oh, darling, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
Refreshed by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Download the reward app and start earning points towards one-of-a-kind experiences, game tickets, and rewards.
Hey, come to this program. Hey, come to this program.
Tire Factory Sports.
We'll get
Number five.
Okay, follow me. PGA Tour announces changes to the FedEx playoff. Now, here's the thing. You're not going to understand it.
Okay.
But
is it still $10 million?
No. Grand prize bumped to $15 million, and they're going to go from four events down to three. And what they've done is they've changed the scoring system. So the points going into the final event are not reset. Instead, the leader will begin the event 10 under par. The next four players on the money list will begin the event 8 under par, 7 under par, 6 under par,
okay,
and 5 under par, respectively. And then it's the next five who begin at 4 under, and then every five players after that regresses by one stroke until you get to the guys ranked 26th through 30th because only 30 guys play in the event, and they begin at even par.
So basically, you're running a race and a guy gets a head start.
Yeah, based on points.
Okay.
And so that way it's easier to follow. Excuse me. So
you play three events, and then at the end of those three events, the person with the best combined score?
No, the most points.
The most points.
FedEx points starts at 10 under. So in other words, the second place guy has to beat that guy by more than two shots in order to tie him. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's clear as mud.
Yeah. Why are they doing this?
Because nobody can understand the point system. And they get to this final event, which is coming up this week, and nobody knows
what
you have to do to beat the to win the money.
Huh.
So they've
Well, good thing they've clarified it. All right. I feel good.
Also, Jim Calhoun is back. He is going to coach a Division III school.
And he's gonna be yelling at everybody.
Called St. Joseph's.
Alright. So he's coaching for the love of
and
it.
And not that St. Joseph's.
No, the other St. Joseph's.
This is a new St. Joseph's.
Yeah, St. Joseph's in the Atlantic 10.
A new program. Yeah, he's not going there. He's going to coach for some reason at this new program.
He's coaching for the love of it, and chances are he's probably just tired of not being able to yell at kids.
Yeah, you're probably right. Things appear to be a mess in Pittsburgh with the Steelers. Wide receiver Antonio Brown was seen arguing with his offensive coordinator on the sideline Sunday. And then he tweets, trade me, and now reports he did not show up to practice yesterday, but his agent says he doesn't want to trade, so... off today, so we'll see what happens.
Mike Tomlin said he was not excused and that he's looking forward to having some words and getting some things straightened out. And by the way, the trade me thing was a response. Someone tweeted at him and basically said that Antonio Brown should be thankful that he has Ben Roethlisberger and that's why he's good. And Antonio Brown said, trade me and find out. Antonio Brown's good because he's Antonio Brown.
Yeah, but he didn't show up yesterday, so.
Le'Veon Bell's sitting back being like, maybe I was onto something.
What the hell's going on there?
Yeah.
All right, just 2 weeks left in the regular season. Let's check in on the key Major League Baseball races. The Dodgers are up a half game on the Rockies in the NL West. Now, the Rocks are in trouble a little bit because Trevor Story, they're a slugger at shortstop. That guy's got 33 bombs on 102 RBIs. He's having a great year. But Ken Rosenthal reporting he may have UCL damage in his elbow, although they're denying that, saying he may even play tomorrow. So LA's going with Clayton Kershaw tonight against Colorado's Kyle Freeland.
I think I saw we have that game over on 910.
What? Yeah, you're carrying baseball now?
We have been all year.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Number two. Cards are up a half game on the Rockies for the second NL wildcard spot. St. Louis tonight is in Atlanta.
I don't know if anyone else found that amusing, but I thoroughly enjoyed that. I made my hot 5 and 5.
NFL Hall of Famers are leveraging their awesomeness, at least some of them. A letter has been sent to the league from the Players Association and the Hall of Fame Board, which is headed by Eric Dickerson. It's endorsed by the likes of Jerry Rice, Kurt Warner, Lawrence Taylor, Jim Brown, Joe Namath, and many others. They're saying they are no longer willing to attend induction ceremonies without Hall of Famers getting health insurance and a salary. They say, hey, you make $14 billion a year in revenue. We want to cut. Part of the statement reads, quote, as a group, we are struggling with severe health and financial problems. To build this game, we sacrificed our bodies in many cases. And despite the fact we were led to believe otherwise, we sacrificed our minds. We believe we deserve more.
By the way, Kurt Warner and Jerry Rice have already said that they didn't sign that and that they shouldn't have been on that list. And Eric Dickerson has already walked back some of his comments because they're getting a little blowback from non-Hall of Fame players. So Eric Dickerson is saying, well, let's start with the Hall of Famers, then we'll move on to everyone else. So this didn't go over with the sort of fanfare I think that they were hoping for.
Interesting. We're going to need to talk about that.
Yeah, at some point that
needs to
be discussed.
We'll carve out a segment for that, for sure. Pac-12 football notes, as expected, running back Bryce Love will be back for Stanford Saturday at Autzen. It is official. ESPN College Game Day will be in Eugene. Ferd is a slight 2-point favorite over the Ducks. Now, the Beavers are hosting Arizona this week. The Cats haven't won, but they're a touchdown favorite over Oregon State. Chip Kelly under fire at UCLA from his quarterback's daddy. The dude took to Twitter after the 0-3 start, called Kelly's time at Oregon a fluke.
Dad?
He also called coaching and play calling lousy. Friday night, there is a Pac-12 game this week. Do you know what it is? Have you looked that far ahead?
Yeah.
Big fella.
I know what it is, but I'll let...
Mike knows. He's at the sports desk.
Yeah, I just saw this today.
Washington State, USC.
Yeah, Washington State, USC.
Interesting game.
Yeah, because if Washington State, is that at USC or is that at Washington State?
LA.
If they go down there and beat him,
LA, bro.
The pitchforks are coming out for Clay Helton.
Clay Helton said his team, his issues reside in practice. He says he needs to be a better leader and run sharper practices.
Yeah, on the conference call today, he was talking about how he was really proud of the way his young quarterback handled the tough environment at Texas. And I was like, did you see the game? Your offense was horrific.
Maybe he didn't see the game.
I guess.
I thought he was there. I thought I saw him on the
sideline.
I mean,
that was an old-fashioned ass-whooping at the hands of a Texas team that isn't very good.
Hey, when did they put that turf grass stuff in Austin?
Oh, probably a while back. I think most people have that now.
Yeah, I always remember their stadium being...
Yeah, grass.
Well, it was artificial turf growing up, like the old cement stuff.
Yeah.
Because I remember we went down there. My mom is a UT grad, and so I've spent some time there. But then I thought they changed it to grass,
yeah,
and I was
grass.
Watching that game going, this doesn't look like Texas's stadium.
No, I'll bet you 95% of the people in college football have that field turf now. Very few people roll out, I think, real grass. I think this is becoming more and more the norm.
Hey, folks, that's your Hot 5 at 5. It's refreshed by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Download Coors Light's new rewards app and start earning points towards one-of-a-kind experiences and game tickets. Up next... Let us cut a giant swath through week two of the NFL.
Lot to chew on there.
Quite a bit of stuff going on there. We'll get to all of it, or at least try, next on The Fan.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Now to some NFL talk. Remember, it is our Monday, as we did not have a show yesterday, so we're trying to bounce through everything that happened over the weekend. And man, I tell you what, that league, the NFL... You just always know that it's going to revert back towards parity, right? Like, you watch week one, and you go, oh, my God, the Raiders are awful. You watch week one and go, oh, my God, who kicked ass in week one?
The Bucks.
Yeah,
except
right?
They kicked ass in week two.
No, the Bucks, it sounds like, are for real, at least offensively.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean. The Lions are
off.
As long
as Fitzpatrick stays the starter.
You know, the Jets or the Dolphins.
That's a good one. It's like, oh, man, Jets. But week two, and I don't know, I didn't go through and do this as an exercise, but you could go through all the games and just pick the opposite of what everybody thought based off of week one.
Yeah.
And you would be right more often than not, because the NFL just reverts back to parity. When a team sucks one week, typically they're a better... They're not as bad as they look, and
like the Falcons,
they're just all kind of all the same, with the exception of a few teams that are really good and a few teams that are probably worse than everybody else. It's just when you think either way, one way or another, X, Y, or Z about the NFL, it just flips on you. And that's kind of what happened in week two, I thought.
Yeah, there's an element of that. And then, like you said, there's going to be teams that will emerge. Kansas City, at least on the offensive side of the ball, the defense has to get better. But, you know, Patrick Mahomes came out, and that's the best 2-week start to any NFL season ever when it comes to throwing touchdown passes.
He's awesome. But you're right. Their defense has given up so many points.
Exactly. So we're all going to sit here and we're going to fall in love with Kansas City, to your point. And it may not happen in a week or two.
Weren't they 5-0 last year?
But they'll come back. If they play defense like this, people will slow down this offense. And how many times have we seen young quarterbacks that come out and they're gangbusters? There will be a dip here. Teams will adjust. And if they play defense like that, it's going to come back and it's going to bite them in the ass. Absolutely it will. But for right now, they're an unstoppable juggernaut.
Well, the Rams look really good.
Yeah, the Rams look really good.
That you can count on. You know, obviously the Patriots will be good even though they lost.
But
Jags, how about my Jags?
Yeah, that's a big win.
Bortles look great.
Yeah, Bortles did look good. You know, he's right now, you look at the numbers, I think third or fourth best QBR and efficiency ranking in the NFL. But another team that reminded me of what you were talking about is the Redskins. Redskins look great week one.
Right, and the Colts didn't.
Yeah, innovative, you know, and it's in Washington. It's their home opener. That was one I bet on personally. I laid the points and took the Skins, and the Redskins couldn't have looked any worse in that. And, you know, after looking like gangbusters week one, and Indy, especially on defense, who was a sieve week one, looked really good and dominated that game start to finish.
Thought Tennessee sucked, but then they come back and win. Even without Mariota, they beat Houston. It's a wild. The league is so wild. But
the Giants, though, There are offensive woes.
But there's another one, Dallas. Dallas looked, they're not that good.
No, but they looked completely different.
They looked
different.
So much better. And the Giants were like, week one maybe was, who'd they play in week one?
They looked awful.
They played Jacksonville. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, well, they're better than that. They'll beat Dallas. Dallas looked terrible. And then Dallas kicks the crap out of them. But those aren't two great teams.
No.
And I think
not.
That's what it is. It's like you get to these games. It's not all the teams, but you get into these games where you just know you're watching two teams that aren't that good. Like, I thought the Bears-Seahawks game was that type of game.
Sure.
I thought the Dallas-Giants game was that type of game.
Yep.
I thought the Houston-Tennessee game was that type of game. It's like you're looking at two teams. It's like, man, this thing could go either way because neither of these teams are any good.
Yeah.
They're very average. Yeah, the middle of the pack of the league is like that. And that's why I think the Seattle is right in there with those teams now. And they didn't used to be. You know, it used to be fun to watch them and, they're elite. And now, dude, they look like a run-of-the-mill. They actually look worse than your run-of-the-mill average NFL team. But they have Russell Wilson and, they do have some injuries on defense. So, give them a chance. But they're not. That team ain't doing anything.
No, you look at the contenders right now, and I know it's early, but you can never write off New England. Jacksonville is going to be there all year because the defense is salty and the offense is better than you think it is. The Rams, I think, have the best roster in the NFL top to bottom and look really good. Kansas City, if they can get their defensive struggles worked out, Kansas City is going to be there. Green Bay and Minnesota are both legit teams. Maybe if you want to throw the Falcons in there and the Eagles, those are your teams, right? Like your Super Bowl winners coming from that pool, that. And then there's going to be some really bad teams. The Bills are god awful. They're going to be terrible.
The Bills coach fired his, he didn't fire him, but he took over play calling from his defensive coordinator in the middle of the game.
Yes. Well, and they had a guy quit. They had a guy retire at halftime.
Yeah, both of those things happened to the Bills.
I've never seen it. In the history of me watching the NFL.
Vontae Davis.
I've never seen someone retire at halftime of a game. He went in at half and it was so bad. He is like, you know what? No. He was getting paid $5 million this year. $5 million. And he couldn't do it anymore. He's like, no, I'm out.
Fascinating. Didn't tell anyone either. Just left.
No, just left.
Seen that.
Players found out. I guess players were on the sidelines like, hey.
Where's Vontae?
Like, where's Vontae? Because I guess they were short, that he was playing because of injury. And people are like, hey, what happened to him? And they're like, dude, I think he went home. Like, what? Yeah, he left. He gone.
That's amazing.
And then, of course, the Browns.
Oh, but wait a minute. Hold on. You're getting too far ahead of ourselves here.
The most Brownsy thing ever.
Yeah, very Brownsy. But back to the Vontae Davis guy.
Yeah.
Would that happen on a good team?
No.
Or because they suck, that he's going, Okay, so I'm sure guys have had that thought before, right? Where they're sitting in the locker room, they go, man, I do not have it anymore. What am I doing here? But they just, you suck it up and you finish out and then you make a decision. He was sitting in there having that same thought that I'm sure a ton of guys have had. But what makes him just go, you know what? No, I'm out of here right now.
Buffalo.
Just because they suck that bad.
Bad situation. You just look around and he's like, I'm not doing it. I'm just not doing it. And I guess, he got benched a little bit in the game and he's like, look, I've made a lot of money. I've been really good in this league and I'm getting benched on this crappy team and I'm going to get my teeth kicked in every week. No, $5 million. No, it's not worth it.
I'm out of here right now.
Right now.
I'm not even going to help you try to save face in the second half against the Chargers. I'm leaving now. I have a tee time.
I am stunned. Of all the things that will happen this year in the NFL, and there will be plenty, nothing will shock me more than that. Well, maybe Fitzpatrick's DeSean Jackson outfit during his press conference, because that was freaking great.
It was. We'll get to him. Back to Mahomes. Let's go one at a time here.
Yeah.
Because it's so exciting.
Like I said, lots
to talk about
to.
All this. Yeah. Who do you compare Mahomes to? Give me a name. When you're watching him, you go, man, he reminds me of this. Because when I sat there and watched him, he is one of a kind. Like, he just looks, I don't know. I could not put my finger on someone to compare him to.
He has an arm talent that is rare. He has, and I hate to even say, guys played two games in the NFL,
But Andy Reid hitched his wagon to him.
He did.
Before anybody knew to hitch their wagon to him.
He let Alex Smith go. Alex Smith was a Pro Bowl quarterback, and he said, this is going to be my guy. And he's making a lot of people look dumb for questioning it.
Yep.
He has the arm talent. And again, I'm just throwing these out there. I'm not saying that he is these guys or this is the ceiling. It's two games in. It's far too early to tell if he's going to be a long-term success. But he has a Brett Favre-like arm. He can make every throw. And he's got Aaron Rodgers type mobility and the ability to throw on the run and extend plays. He's
a Favre Rodgers hybrid. A
little bit.
Good hell.
Yeah. But that's why I said you can't, I'm not saying that he's Brett Favre and he's not Aaron Rodgers, but he's got an elite arm, a special arm that can make all the throws, an Elway like Favre like arm. But he moves better, but he's not necessarily a scrambler. He's mobile and he can extend plays with his legs. And that is kind of Aaron Rodgers like, ability to kind of move around. And he looks really, really stinking good right now.
Is he the first quarterback in a while who came out of that air raid system that's actually working in the NFL really quickly?
He may be the only one.
I feel like everyone that comes out of that system is just awful in the NFL.
Well, it's usually because the concepts that exist in that air raid don't translate to the NFL. Those throws that you make. I remember when I'm trying to think who was the last one that came out that they said this about. Someone that played in the air raid, but it was Todd McShay said, I went through an entire game watching him and there were two throws that I saw him make that were NFL throws. And I'm not saying that like, he made two NFL quality throws. He said two passes he attempted were throws that you would make in the NFL. That's how hard it is to judge guys that come out of that air raid like system. And it's why you see a lot of people that just don't take those guys that seriously. And Mahomes has turned that on its ear.
Okay. So here's a question piggybacking off of what Mike's talking about with the air raid. Why don't more air raid offenses ever have elite quarterbacks? In other words, I'm looking at it the other way. It would seem to me in the air raid, you could put up some big numbers.
Yeah.
And so you're a high school traditional dropback style quarterback. Why wouldn't you want to go play in the air raid?
Because it doesn't develop you. And by the way, there's another one that played in the air bear was Jared Goff. And Goff really struggled when he got into the NFL, a lot of it because of that. When you're playing in that system and you're playing in the wide splits and all these little underneath dink and dunk routes, you don't learn tree concepts, passing tree concepts. So much of succeeding in the NFL is at a quarterback is understanding I've got four receivers out in a route and every one of those routes is going to be predicated each route is designed to make the defense react to it. And how the defense reacts is going to determine who comes open. And you have to be able to make pre-snap recognition and understand where you're going with the football. And when you play in the air raid, you don't have that. And so you don't learn it. And then you get to the NFL and they ask you to learn these passing concepts. And it's like asking someone that studied French in high school, right? You're like, okay, in college, I learned French or I learned German. And then you get to the NFL and say, okay, now learn Mandarin Chinese. And you say, well, I was okay at learning this language. You're like, yeah, this one's a little bit harder. And by the way, figure it out in a year.
Okay, but how would that compare then to like, say a quarterback going and playing in the spread? You know?
Same sort of thing.
Right, I mean, but you see a lot of elite quarterbacks come from spread.
There's been more of them, yes, because I think even in the spread, I still think you can have NFL passing concepts in the spread, like with what Oklahoma does with Baker Mayfield. They played in the spread. They played in a read option system.
What about Mariota?
Mariota was probably there was not a lot of NFL concepts. There wasn't when he came out of that. There wasn't a lot that you looked at on film where you said, okay, this necessarily translates into the NFL. And by the way, I think you've seen him struggle the NFL because of that.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. But my whole point is it doesn't seem like traditional pro-style quarterbacks really seem to care all that much about where they're choosing to go to school based on how much their offense develops them.
No.
It doesn't. That's not a thing.
It really hasn't.
They feel like, hey, if I'm going to be a future prospect, I'm going to be a future prospect no matter what offense I play in.
Yeah.
And no matter where I go, which is, again, goes back to the question, why the air raid doesn't get better quarterbacks because you can put up unbelievable numbers in that that system.
I do think if I was a top five-star quarterback, I would not want to go play in the air raid. If I thought I was going to the NFL, and I do think that
But you would want to play in the spread?
I think I'd rather play in the spread because we use the term spread far too much. There's spread offenses that throw the football and run real concepts. I just know that if I was a Daniels or a, you know, the kid out of SC or I don't know who another, you know, like five-star prospect is, but if I'm one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league or in the high school coming Tua. Out, yes, I would want to go somewhere where I thought I had a chance to grow and develop into an NFL quarterback. If I'm a five-star kid, I obviously am thinking about the NFL. And I wouldn't want to go play in a place that's going to dink and dunk and not teach me how to throw the football. And this texter on the Better You Today text line, this is a good analogy. The air raid is the passing option. Like, that's
I see what you mean. Yeah.
That's to me, that's a good analogy.
Golf.
The people are calling you out.
Jared Goff.
Once again.
I don't know what to tell you. Apparently I can't say it. In my ears, I hear it correctly.
Golf.
Does that sound like that? Doesn't to me sound like I'm saying golf. But apparently,
well, there you said golf, which is we're not
golf,
talking about
a body
golf.
Of water. Yeah,
I can't do it. Or
it's
maybe
okay.
I can't. I don't know.
Well, the listeners caught it.
The Rams quarterback.
Golf.
How about
who likes
that?
To play golf?
Who likes to play golf?
There are some people that are going to look at this and scoff.
Woo! All right, Mahomes is good. That we know.
Yes.
Now, what's up with all these kickers? Can we talk about that?
A lot of them looking for jobs.
It's 5:32. Here's Mike.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
This band, name this band, quick.
Hold on, I don't have my headphones in.
Okay, put your headphones in, in your ears.
Hold on, I'm working on it.
Do that. This is Mike's new bump.
I put 3 new songs in last week, yeah.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
That is the greatness of Voices from the Fuselage.
What?
That's right.
Is that a you thing? I'm guessing that's a Mike thing.
Good guess.
What do you think?
You don't strike me as a Voices from the Fuselage sort of thing. The last thing you got into was the Carpenters, so I doubt that you're into the Voices of the Fuselage. Although seeing you at the White Owl... Boogie Down.
Dude,
that was
that DJ was cranking.
You were
Friday night.
Well, he was, and you were.
He had me going.
You lit up that dance floor.
All right, so we're talking about the NFL here, the National Football League,
the NFL.
And the stat is that teams that start 0-2 have a 12% chance of making the playoffs.
Yeah, that doesn't happen very often.
So right now, those teams are the Bills.
No.
The Texans.
I'm gonna say no, but the division they play in, although Jacksonville's really good, Tennessee, there's a chance if Watson can pull his head out. He still doesn't look right.
Raiders.
No.
Giants.
No. Did you watch any of Eric Flowers play?
Yeah, I did.
He's the worst player in the NFL. He's the worst starter in the NFL. And the rest of their line ain't much better.
I was gonna say, their whole offensive line sucks.
It's awful. And Eli is just, he's got nothing left. He's shot.
Lions.
No.
Cardinals.
No.
And Seahawks.
They may go to Rosen here real quick. And if so, he's going to get thrown to the Wolves, but they are bad. In fact, they may be like Buffalo Bills bad. Worst team in the NFL bad. So no, none of those 0-2 teams.
You don't think Seahawks are going?
No.
Hell no. That's a 5-win team.
They may win more than that. They're going to be in some games, especially if they get healthy. But they're not good.
So would the Browns be 2-0 if they had Dan Bailey? They probably would.
Yeah, I think they probably would be.
Well, no, that's not. Well,
they're 2-0.
Well, the extra point that the guy missed against Zane Gonzalez missed against the Saints would have put them up one, but it didn't matter. The Saints went down and got the field goal anyway.
That's true. But then the Browns would have gone back. The Browns had a chance to go back down and win the game, and he missed it
against the Saints.
Yes. So after the Saints made it, the Browns got down in position to win the game.
He missed another one?
It wouldn't have won it. It would have sent it into overtime, and he missed another one.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because he missed the extra point It was 18-18.
And then they went down, kicked a field goal, and then the Browns put him back in position, and they had a chance to kick it, and
he miss one earlier in the game?
I think he missed two extra points, two field goals.
So who had a... Sorry for laughing. That's horrible. Who had a worse weekend, Daniel Carlson, the Vikings kicker, or Zane Gonzalez, Browns kicker?
They both got cut, but I'm going to say that the Browns kicker had it worse. Carlson did, because that lost in the game where Minnesota got a tie out of it at least. So I'm going to say worse. I'll go with Carlson, but they both got cut, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah,
they're both out of work.
Okay, so the whole kicker thing, and there were a lot of missed kicks. It felt like the worst weekend ever for kickers. And you've already got a league that can be tough to watch.
Yeah.
If you have bad teams or just bad quarterbacks, much less bad kickers, right? Like it's painful. And this goes back to the discussion about moving the extra point back. And I was one of the few who was saying, this is not a good idea. I hate the extra point anyway. So maybe this will be better. But what's going to happen is hopefully coaches will start going for two more. That has not happened.
No.
And so you thought it'd mean more going for two. Instead, it means just get a new kicker. That's what it means.
Instead, it means that in crucial moments, you end up chumping one and it costs you a football game.
But it's really hard to watch. Yeah. In other words, it was not a good idea to move the extra point back. It just wasn't.
No.
Because everybody was like, well, I don't want a game coming down to some measly extra point. Well, it is coming down to some measly extra point, and they're missing them.
It's not the first time it's happened, too. The other thing that made it really hard to watch is the quarterback penalties. Look, I'm not one of these knuckle dragging guys that says that football is for candy asses now. And, you know, and we want to go back to the old ways of violence and head trauma. I'm not one of those guys, but the quarterback protection in this league, it's gone too far. And it costs someone a football game. That Clay Matthews play cost the Green Bay Packers a win. And we don't know what that tie is going to end up meaning as we get deeper into the season, but that was an interception, game over, that sealed it for them. And they threw that flag. There was 15 of them in week one. I think there was 8 or 9 in week two. You cannot hit a quarterback anymore. You can't hit him high. You can't hit him low. So you aim for the middle. And when you aim for the middle, you end up falling down on top of them. At some point, they have to take a look at this and ask themselves what they want their game to be, because this just can't go on like this. It's ridiculous. Yes, we have to protect quarterbacks because no one wants to see Aaron Rodgers out for the year. But what you saw on Sunday, especially in that Green Bay Minnesota game, that's not football. That's just bad business.
Huh? Wait, that's not football, man?
No.
Is that what you just said?
That's what I said.
That's football, man.
No, it's not.
It
was a clean tackle.
That's football, man.
No, it's not. That's not football.
There I go.
That's football, man.
as a football fan, that's embarrassing.
Let's come back and talk about that element of it, because everybody's bitching about that. Do you have any thoughts on kickers or extra points? it sucked, man. They've moved the extra point back, so you can do one of two things. You can say that was a bad idea. Let's just get rid of the extra point. Touchdown's worth 7 points. Or move it back even further, and then maybe coaches will go for more twos. They're not going to do either one of those things.
Or you can simply say that it's made the game more unpredictable. And
you like it? See, I didn't like it. The missed field goals is one thing. The missed extra points is...
I love it.
It happens, like, I'm sitting on my couch, right? And so I feel bad. I do. I feel bad for Browns fan. But as a guy that doesn't have a dog in the fight, unless I'm gambling... I was sitting on the couch, and that went from, oh, all right, good for the Browns, to holy hell. That got my attention maybe more than anything else over the weekend. So maybe, I don't know, maybe that is good.
Well, I like it because nothing should be a gimme.
And it's not a gimme anymore.
Nothing, not even the extra point. Like, you go all the way down.
Why should the extra point be a gimme?
Well, listen to me. You go all the way down. You do everything that it takes to win the game and score the game-tying touchdown. That's what you did it.
Yep.
Drove all the way down. Didn't settle for a field goal. You got in the end zone. And then that. You're telling me that's commiserate.
Well, it's part of the game.
Like, it is part of the game.
Well, but a better kicker. So because you drove down and won the game, quote unquote, you didn't.
Okay. Well, I would propose one of two things. I think it's stupid. And either go back to the extra point the way it was, which was dumb too.
Move back to like a 40 and force people to
keep moving it back until coaches are like, hell, our kicker, he ain't going to make that. Let's go for two. Or just give 7 points for a touchdown.
Well, it should, like, Legatron for the Rams got hurt, Zerloin, and they went for two.
See, I would just vote for give 7 points. Just get rid of the extra point.
Go seven unless you want to try to go for two, right?
Yes. And then.
It's NFL blitz style.
And then, yeah. Well, I mean, but you still have all the missed.
3 point and then you have seven.
You still have all the missed field goals.
Yeah. Well, there's plenty of those.
And there's enough of that to go around. Now, that is different. It's like, hey. It's dicey. You only got to the 35-yard line. So are you going to make it or are you not? But score, driving all the way down and getting the touchdown and then saying, okay, now you've got to make a 30, what are they, 33 yards or whatever?
Something like that.
I mean, it should be easy, but...
It's not.
Just don't think a game should be caused.
It's not for the Cleveland Browns.
I don't think a game should be decided that way. I think it
probably
sucks.
Not, and yet there's part of me that just is grinning ear to ear that this happened to Cleveland. I feel bad for Minnesota.
But he missed the field goal. Again, the extra point, I think he missed a couple extra points.
He did.
It really came down to his missed field goals. And he missed a field goal in overtime against the Steelers. So with Dan Bailey, they'd be 2-0.
Yes.
With a good kicker.
With a good kicker, they're
2-0. But with the rules changes I'm talking about, they would not be 2-0. No.
What?
In other words, if the rules were different, in other words, the extra points missed did not cost them games.
No.
The missed field goals cost them games. And we're talking about two different things.
Yes. Valid point.
Let's talk about that Clay Matthews hit and that whole kind of thing. Coming up next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. NFL. Kickers. Stupid extra points. A lot of people are bringing up, a few people have brought up the idea of gimmies in golf. Like if you get within 2 feet of the cup.
Yeah. But they don't do gimmies in the PGA.
No, but if you look at the stats, they don't miss those.
No.
It's the same as extra points. No. And what I'm saying is it'd be like you hitting a really good shot to get within 2 feet. You gave yourself a gimme. And now because that's so easy, we're going to put you back to 8 feet. Now you have to make it.
Yeah.
That's BS to me. It doesn't make sense. And I was one of the few who said it at the time. I think most people were like, who cares, whatever. But now you're starting to see it.
I will tell you, it is
play out, and I think it's annoying.
Yeah, it sucks. I'm with you. It may be entertaining, but it certainly to me doesn't. I'm trying the best way to put it. Is it the right way that we should be determining who the best team on the field was and who should win?
The answer is no.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from.
Now on those flags. The Clay Matthews, now the NFL came out and said the Clay Matthews hit was,
they said it was right. They said that there was
why? Because he drove his shoulder
down.
They
said that there was a lifting motion. It wasn't even that he necessarily drove into him. There was a lifting motion. If you see when he first hits him, he kind of wraps up and there's like, he kind of moves his hips upward and he picks him up a little bit, which apparently you're not allowed to do. So you can't hit him anywhere near the shoulders or above, because if you hit him in the shoulders, your head is going to make contact with his chin, and that's a penalty. You can't hit him anywhere from the knees down, because that's a penalty. So now you have to aim for the thighs to the midsection. But when you hit that, especially a bigger quarterback, you can't wrap up and drive, because then you're going to end up on top of him. The only way to really do it now is to do some sort of weird rodeo tackle.
It's frustrating.
At some point, you can't ask defenders to do this. It's ridiculous.
Don't you think they'll recalibrate it, though?
I don't know. I really don't, because I think the NFL is just so paranoid about having quarterbacks hurt. And it's such an offensive driven league that I don't know. I don't know if they'll recalibrate it, but that play, the Minnesota Vikings, well, they tied the game. So let's say this, the Green Bay Packers were robbed to win. Clay Matthews did his job, busted through, had a quarterback hit, ended up in an interception along with the quarterback pressure, game over. And they had that game ripped away for maybe the most BS call I've ever seen. And then the NFL had the audacity to come out and say that, yes, that should have been a penalty.
Well, it's kind of, you know, the college game is kind of going through a little bit of this too. You saw a lot of those targeting calls.
Yes.
And the kid that got ejected from Utah. And,
yep.
I don't know. It's ugly, and they're trying to do the right thing by having these rules in place.
Yeah.
But I just feel like they're in a period where it's not being called consistently. It's not quite fully defined to the point where everybody knows the rules and knows what to expect. And I think it's going to take time. I guess I'm just not a guy who's freaking out about this. I see a lot of people. It's a concern, no question. But it's just like anybody else. Like, you have issues in your life. Whoever's sitting right over there, I don't know who that is, in the other studio recording something, has, you know, something going on in his life, right? Like, we all, a business may be running really well. Apple's doing well, but they always have issues. Everybody has an issue that they're working on.
Sure.
Right? Why do we have to say that this is going to kill football? Maybe it's just an issue that they're working on. I mean, it's new. So give them time to calibrate, and maybe they'll get there. I just don't see this as like this big life and death thing where football's never going to be the same. I just don't see it that way. I think they'll eventually get to a safe place, eventually get to a place where it's not really that big of an issue.
I just honestly don't know how you ask someone to hit a quarterback anymore, especially bigger quarterbacks. So you're asking someone, let's take Cam Newton, and maybe he's the outlier, but let's take even Aaron Rodgers, right? Aaron Rodgers is a bigger quarterback. Andrew Luck, big quarterback.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm a fairly big guy. I'm 255 pounds. Ben Roethlisberger is bigger than I am. So now you're asking someone to go in at full speed and say, you can't hit him high, you can't hit him low, and you can't pick him up and leg drive him. You're asking them at that point to go in, stop, hug Ben Roethlisberger, and then somehow drag his 280, 290 pound, 6 foot six body down. Oh, and by the way, when you are dragging him down, you better make sure that you don't throw him down too hard, or
and then don't land on top of him.
To me, you can't play football that way. I always said that I think what they're asking DBs to do is very difficult. To understand, you know, in a split second time to make that decision to not go head first to when a guy lowers his trajectory. I get that that's difficult. I think what they're asking defenders to do when it comes to the quarterback, it's not asking too much. It's not asking to make split second decisions. I think you now have set the game up to be completely unfair. I think you are asking them to do something that, to me, almost defies the very nature of football and the proper form tackle that they would have you implement to avoid helmet to helmet will directly lead to these sorts of penalties. And to me, when you say, okay, you can no longer go at it this way, and we're going to force you to go at it option B, and option B now leads to a penalty, I don't know what other options are really left for defenders. And that's, I guess that's the point I'm making. It's just, it's,
no,
to
you're
me,
right.
It's crossed over to be absurd.
Well, you're right. It's just that they can fix it. They can tweak it. The NFL is not in the business of losing money. And if enough people are bitching about this and they're losing eyeballs, what do you think they're going to do?
Yeah.
Just let it continue?
No.
No, they'll fix it.
I don't like Aaron Rodgers broke his collarbone on a play like this. And it's a knee jerk reaction of, we can't have Aaron Rodgers out of the game. And legislating stuff because of one injury is ridiculous. Tom Brady, right? Tom Brady blows out his knee. Well, we can't go low anymore because we can't have Tom Brady out. You know, if there's this rash of quarterbacks all going down, then I get that. Like with I get why they're doing the stuff with DBs and defenseless receivers, because no one wants to see anyone dead on the field, and no one wants to see people unconscious, and no one wants to see guys at 50 years old committing suicide because their brains are trash. I get that. But that isn't what you're doing here. I think what you're doing with the quarterback stuff to me has crossed a line, and it's the first time that I've really been upset with a rule. I cannot like rules that have been implemented, and I may not like the changes, but I understand why they're doing it. This is the first one that has really bothered me that I think is crappy, and I hope something gets done about it.
I think to Rob's point is they are doing a good job of tweaking the rules for the DBs. I'm not sure if you guys saw this weekend the hit on Cam Newton when he slid.
Yeah.
The helmet to helmet.
Get him out.
Instant ejection.
Yes.
Perfect. They got to a point now where that was a really dirty hit, and he instantly got ejected from the game. That's what you need to do to stop that hit from happening.
Yeah.
And over the first 2 weeks of this year, I've been keeping a close eye on the DB receiver hits. Almost all of the DBs are doing a really good job of going shoulder first.
Yep.
They're not going helmet to helmet. They're going towards the midsection. It's working. They started tweaking this like 3 seasons ago, and it's working. So this is year one, to Rob's point, of the quarterback tweaks. It sucks right now.
They'll get it.
They'll get it right.
But this is my point. Like, if you ask DBs to change the way they play, but you implemented this rule where they weren't allowed to tackle other players the way that they're tackling quarterbacks, then you wouldn't have football. And you're asking defensive linemen now to take that part away, and I just don't know how you're supposed to go about doing it.
There was a game I was watching. I think I was watching Washington play Indy, and there was a point where I went, wow, that guy really, you know, this idea that you're barreling down on the quarterback and you can pull up.
Yeah.
A guy did.
Yeah.
And I watched it. I went back and rewound that. I'm like, wow, dude, that guy, and to Mike's point, which was to my point about all the other points on this point by point discussion we're having here about points.
A lot of points. It's a lot of milk.
It's working.
Yes.
Because guys are adjusting yeah. And they're just, it's going to be rough for a bit, but I think it was the Redskins Colts game, but I can't remember now, but one guy was barreling down on the quarterback. I'm pretty sure it was because it was Andrew Luck, and he flat out pulled up.
I've seen it.
And then just held on to the quarterback.
Yeah.
So it can be done.
Nice.
Clay.
That's the Packers were robbed. Flat out robbed. The Packers won that game.
Coming up next, The Club on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.